His healing power is here. His workings and miracles is here. His peace is here. Answered prayer is here. Faith is here. What do you think we gather together for? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you might as well just reach up and get a hold of something. I'd be about telling you right just about now what I was believing for. Come on. What, you got pain in your body? Guess what? Well, no guessing. Do you know what? It has no rights whatsoever to stay in your body. When Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our pains and died under the penalty of them, so your disease was laid on Him, so it can't be laid on you. Is that no question if He's going to do it? How can He do something He's already done? He's not going to. He already has. Well, what's my part? Your part is taking it. Well, I'm trying to get God to move. He already moved. Well, what's faith? Well, faith is the name they gave to what you operate in when you believe that He did something that He said He did. Well, my faith is moving, God. No, He's already moved in that. Your faith is loosing Him to do what He's already done for you. Say that again, I can't. For like so many times, oh, just my desire to gather you to myself and do those things that are pleasing to me, to do those things that I've done for you. Receive it. Receive it. The more you yield yourself to me and stay in my presence, the wiser you'll become on how to make your journey from not having to having. So you got pain in your body, lift both your hands. I can't come up with any logical reason why you should sit through the next 4 hours of teaching. With pain. So, do you have pain anywhere in your body? Raise those hands up. Raise them up. That's it. That's it. Now hold them there for a minute. Oh, Father, how can we say thanks? I mean, how can we show our appreciation, gratitude, and thanks for you having done this and so many other things? So now, Father, right now, I'm commanding in your name, Jesus, in your name, for that pain to leave. Pain, you go now. You're not welcome in our meeting. Go. Now, as we sing one more time and worship a little bit here, anytime. You can be seated for a moment. Listen, there's somebody here because he stopped me to tell me this. But this is your choice. You'll find that we've unveiled a lot of the operation of the Holy Spirit in the mandate. Jesus said that He has. He'll guide you into all truth. He won't push you. guide. Guide you into all truth. I said, thy word is truth. For Jesus said, this is what he would do. He will receive of mine and show it unto you. Well, what does Jesus have that he's going to receive to show us? It's the standing with the Father as the firstborn. That's what you got. You have the standing of the Father as a born again son and daughter of God. And the Holy Spirit's come to teach you who you are by receiving of him and showing it unto you. See? Well, we discovered this ministry of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I discovered it way back when I walked off my job by instruction and didn't know how to pray, so I only ended up praying in tongues to endure the time I had committed to, just so I could say, I spent that time. Little did I know what was going to happen to me in the years to come. But we discovered from many texts, Romans 8 being one in particular, that likewise the Spirit does help your weaknesses. He listed them as infirmities. Included in that, not knowing how to pray as you ought. But he who searches the hearts knows what God's plan and mind was for you, that enables him to make intercession for you then according to the will of God. Then overall, we know things will begin to work together for the good or for the purpose of God. So we found out we were working his plan deliberately, and still it was by our choice. Even though it's the Holy Spirit creating the prayer, guess whose action inside activates it? You can start and you can stop anytime. See, you're the captain of your own ship. You're the one in charge of the journey. So you can pray as much as you want, as often as you want. If there's somebody here who can't, you're not here by your own design even. Somebody prayed, and that's the reason you're sitting out there. They prayed, and God knew he'd have my mouth to talk to you when you got here. So you're worth this whole service. You're worth the whole day. So he's got a plan for you, and obviously he knows that you're not going to really find it till you take this step. How many knows that the infilling of the Holy Spirit is the closest second that's supposed to take place after you've been born again? You're supposed to be filled. I've spoken, or I have preached or testified about, I don't know, 9, 10 different languages. Problem was, I didn't know what I said. But they did. They ran for the front. It was in Canada. And so I spoke German on television. There's a German lady that was sick. And I told her what to do and prayed. And she called, but I thought I was just speaking with tongues. And I was making the host nervous. I was a little bit nervous because after I spoke the tongue, I waited for an interpretation and none come. And he was eyeing me, and I just went, I better go on with this. And I did, and we got a phone call. German-speaking lady said all of a sudden I began to speak German and addressed her problem, what was wrong, and she got absolutely healed. And I went, God, if I find out about this, if I'm the last to find out about it one more time, just one more time, I'm going to ask for a raise. The Holy Spirit does so much. So much. It guides you into all truth. He's the power. He's the one that holds and has been commissioned to bring to pass the perfect will of God in your life. And when you don't know how to pray about these things, for crying out loud, He even does the praying. So you're here, and you cannot speak with tongues. Come up here. Man, I was ready to teach on Paul's thorn. Listen, you're worth this, whoever you are. And generally, He does everything but show me who you are, because this is the step you have to make. Come. In Brazil, God so went after a man. That He had to even tell me that the man had killed somebody. And was living with that. Trying to. After that part, He came down. We understand He turned Himself in and turned His guns in. Come, what you've been feeling is His call. That's why you've been so restless, you don't know how to take the next step. In fact, somebody else has given you wrong advice, and He's trying to correct that for you so you won't throw years away, which you don't have. Come. Come. If it was a big church, we want it. I mean, we do. Of course we do. We want 100,000 to come and listen. But I know how to do that in the natural. User-friendly is a really... That's when everything revolves around making the people happy, and all the whole ministry is absorbed in their wants and their needs. But to challenge them to give their lives, and I guess Alan preached, die, 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 die. But to say, look, once you put the world behind you, why don't we go on into God until we cause a raving revival against sickness and disease and insanity? And I was walking down intensive care looking at all the machines keeping the people alive. And of course, they got a monitoring board for all of that down at the... So they can tell what's going on in each room from one headquarters place. So one starts dying or something, they can get somebody right there. Don't you know if you walked down through there and emptied all of them, that it would all start showing up on the board? You wouldn't need user-friendly. You'd have to have ushers to keep people away. Yet you put those kind of loads on people, then what you're putting on them also is all hell's intention for you not to go there. So what happens is usually a core bunch. They'll take the beating and take the beatings and take the beatings, and the crowd will keep turning over and turning over, and they keep taking the beating until finally it erupts in that revival and it is over. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm thinking about the path that we've taken. And I have to be honest, I'd do it all again. Because when I get there, I want to be there. I want to see what he sees. So tell me, are we having revival or what? Yes. I had to hold myself down in that hospital. Wanted to run through there and cause trouble. Well, you know where me and Gary and Tim. Tim's 70. I'm 67. And Gary is 63. And you know what? I think we have as long as you do. If you're 40. I think he's getting ready to come back in the next 30 years or so. And I think we get to see the revival that brings him back. I think more than that, I think we get to play a major part in it. I'm not going to waste that surge of faith. Get up again. Raise your arms for a minute. Set yourself in agreement with me. Hallelujah. Yes. Father, we want to thank you. We can hear the cry of revival. We can see darkness being shoved back. We can see the fall of light, Father. We see a city on fire. Raging. Hallelujah. I see people lying in the streets, sick. I see other cities coming in that are sick. I see revival. Hell is taking his best shot at my family and Tim's family. We're still here. The devil tried his best to get me to accuse God. Throw my hands up in dismay, not to trust him anymore. So not in your best day. You better leave on your own before I make you. Yes, God, I say. No. No. I fought a war and was getting equipped along the way. And to stop now? Oh no. No. You and I are going to get to see something that's maybe seen once a century, if we're lucky. Revival. So think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you. Could he have worded that any better? We're going, all of a sudden you're waylaid going, what strange thing is this? What in the world? Think it not strange. So Father, with all our heart, we want to glorify you and thank you and praise you that heaven is opening. Heaven is opening. Hallelujah. We don't quite know how or exactly when, but this one thing we do know, heaven is opening. Heaven is opening. We're past can't. And we're into can. And we're not turning back. Hetosko has coetiese. Judabo and Dolaka discorobo batiese doma. Denesi. Bohas codeshe. Dohole machine. Naso heske. This was the thrust of this. If you only knew how few times that this was attained to, that you'd understand the war that's been waged on you from him who is the liar. His instruction was to stand fast in that liberty that I have called you into. Yes, over me. Chokieto balatuyamaki. For who better? Who better than the power and the teacher of the Holy Spirit to lead you through, guide you into all that I have? So don't grow weary and faint. You're closer than you think. Hallelujah. I guess he did want to say a few things to us today, did he not? You know, I saw something else. I saw I don't know how it'll come about per se, but I saw a bunch of your loved ones getting saved. I don't know whether it was up in the revival, when, or and when your life changes so much that the witness and what you're walking in affects some of such. I don't know how it would happen exactly. But I did see bunches and I didn't know how to handle it, but it was like these. I'd see a group, and then all of a sudden a line would go to a person, then another group, and another group. So don't think for a minute that the revival that God's going to give us is not going to affect drastically your relatives and your loved ones. Just get them in it. Just get them there somewhere. Even more than that. When he first showed me the worth of a person, when we read a verse on it, it's easy to read and go on. Like one soul is worth a whole world, or it's not worth that one soul. It's not alive. And I got to see the worth of a soul through his eyes for 1 minute. It was just a glance and a feeling. And just the glance and what came on me reduced me to a quivering mass of protoplasm. I cried for 8 or 9 hours. You know your eyes start drying out by that long and keep trying to produce more tears. It did something to that place what we call done. That during that time there was a large amount of people that began to be healed in proxy. And because the prayer clause, because it wasn't hard to reach out to a relative and know that you know that you know that heaven has went into operation because you left their name with them. The difference is you're not trying. You literally leave their name with God and just sign out, just leave it there. And heaven immediately goes into operation. Immediately. Why would he say, pray the Lord of the harvest? You pray the Lord of the harvest. You. To send forth laborers. What does he want from us? He's the one that died for them. Why? What does he want from us? What does he want us? You pray, the Lord of the harvest. He wants them saved worse than I do. Why do I pray for him to send laborers? Why don't he just send them? Actually, he's the head. We're the body. We're the ones that have authority here. We're his mouth and we're his hands. You think heaven doesn't rejoice when you leave a name off? He said, I'm going to leave him here and I will not take them back. What do you think he does? A motorcycle rider, preacher, doesn't know why he moved into next to your motorcycle riding son. A doctor don't know why he was called to Iceland and to live on an iceberg because he moved in next to your doctor's son. He'll send laborers. And he'll keep going like when Philip. When Stephen. Don't hold this to their charge. It was Paul that was killing him. You know what God got from that? Well, do you think God was playing favorites, respecter of persons when he knocked Paul down? He had to have something to do it with. He doesn't randomly choose people to be saved. He's no respecter. He didn't choose the dark ages, the church did. He said, don't hold this to his charge. And he made intercession to death. Stephen would have had one whale of a ministry. You know he would. Guess whose reward he got? Paul was lashed with 39 lashes 5 different times. Beat with rods 3 different times. That's he put your feet in a holding, then your head, and they beat the bottom of your feet until they break them. 3 times. He had ships sink out from under him 3 times. He had to tread water for 1 day and a night. 3 times. And beaten with rods 3 times. Yet, old Stephen, you know, he's getting Paul's reward. Because he's the one that made intercession unto death, and God's the one that tracked him down and saved him. You think your loved one's worth any less? You think that angels who are drawing unemployment, such a faithless church world, you think that they're not anxious to get the next slip? Who do we go after? Oh, they live some remote island out somewhere. I'll take that one. I think the one lesson he taught me I'll never forget. See, the 202 times that love is mentioned in the New Testament, 71 of those times are by John. The other 130 is all the rest of the authors of the New Testament. John lived 100 A.D. He died 67 years after the resurrection. You want to know why he lived so long? Honor your father and your mother, and you'll what? What did Jesus say when he's hanging on the cross? John, behold your mother. Sure, he lived a long time. I guess I never really knew in our holiness days when we'd sell you down the river and to hell over an earring. We're not talking about men either. So those holiness days, I wasn't able to measure anybody's worth. Not even your own. Now I know. See, I know that He loves me now. Shouldn't be an odd thing to say I'm not afraid. Of what? When fear becomes, love perfects to any degree. It starts eradicating that. What do you got to be afraid of? At the one time that He showed me how much He cared about somebody, just Palm Springs, the whole family was with us. We had a big van. We got there, first thing David wanted to do, if you know my David, he wanted to go snake hunting. He'll snatch up a rattlesnake and shake it, you know. Yeah, he just likes to hunt snakes. Some people do it for venom, you know. He just liked to hunt them. He said, "Can I use the van?" "Oh, you know you have to be back because I got that the meeting. So, yeah, so make sure you come back." So he goes snake hunting. He drives out over till he got on a dirt road, and he drove out and kept driving out. And finally he got to this intersection, kind of dirt, kind of the little bitty store-like thing there. Maybe a gas station. So if I remember him telling it correctly, there was two guys there. Oh, David pulls up and I think he asked him a little direction. He asked a few things, and but soon one of them looks into the back of the van, and the book was laying there. The Walk of the Spirit, the Walk of Power. And the guy looked at the book, and he steps back and he says, "Where'd you get that book?" And David said, "Well, my dad wrote it." And the guy goes, "Yeah, right, you know." He said, "My dad wrote it." He said, "Yeah, right." And David got his driver's license out and showed him. And they stepped back, and he was kind of in shock. And one of them told the story. He said him and his wife, I think some foster children and their children, they used to go to a little Pentecostal church somewhere around there. She's on her way somewhere and got hit in a car wreck and killed her and the children with her. Not all of them. But he said, "I don't believe in a God to take my children and take my wife. I don't believe in it." So he went that way for a while, and then finally he just said, and he made this so hard God couldn't do it. He said, "If I could meet the man that wrote that book by tonight, then I'll believe you." David says, "Get in a car." Way out in the middle of nowhere in the desert in California. We're in Oklahoma. So he gets there and I knock on the door and I step out and heard it. Just marveled and laid hands on him and prayed, and he fell down under the power. He laid there for a while out on the sidewalk. And after a while he jumps up and says, "God is God." Come on. He really go through that for somebody? Come on. He did. I know that faith is here. It feels like the gift. Right now, I feel like I have all the faith in the world. But it's for this. But why don't you pick a relative, if they're married, a relative or two, husband and wife, or why don't you pick a relative and get ready to hold their name up, because I want to enter into this with you. I want to be part of the agreement. I want the authority to be loose to believe that them people are going to be saved before they die, and that's final. So as we sing this song, why don't you want to offer somebody up? Just gather up front around here. Just gather around. Get their name out and be direct about it. Two, don't, you know, start calling whole cities by name and things. Just get two people. If it's a family, go ahead, incorporate the family. So she starts playing, we start singing. You that want to offer somebody up, why don't you just wander on up here? And in the last day, I haven't really seen it yet because the qualifying for it is so rigid. There'll once again be ministries like the apostles had, like Paul, with a judgment gift. The problem with that, what qualifies it is first you have to have the mercy that rejoices against the judgment. It's the only qualification that'll get it. But Paul used it on Patmos. A man that had his father's wife, obviously stepmother. He said, turn such a one over. I'm there with you. To the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved on the Lord's day. So when the devil began to destroy him, he probably knew. This man repented and got the devil off of him then. But if he wouldn't, then there'd be a continual destroying. But one thing for sure, the man would end up repenting before it was over. I've seen that maybe once or twice, but I didn't even hardly know what I was doing when it took place. I thought it was a word of knowledge. So, we have no idea how far he's willing to reach in after somebody with the cross. I mean, that's why he came. Most costly thing heaven sustained is you and our right to make free will choices. If God was going to invade anybody, make a choice for you, it would have been Adam. He'd have slapped about 6 Sundays out of him and put him in counseling. Said, you're not going to the tree. Got that? But he didn't, because he couldn't. Your freedom is one of the highest valued things. And when you tell him you love him, he likes to know that it came from you. Then you're not alone. So whoever you're turning over, he loves them like that. So I'm going to pray and you repeat after me. Then when we get there, you don't have to scream their names out if you don't want, but just record them in heaven. Just say them. So you can say husband and wife, their names and family. So say this after me. Father God, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus concerning these loved ones. I want them to present them to you today. I want to turn them over completely. And I will not take them back. I'm going to leave them with you for their salvation. So, Father, these are the names that I'm giving to you right now. Say them. Go on. He hears you. So, Father, we're sealing this now. We're totally turning them over to you. In the name of Jesus, we receive it done and give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.